How's it going, listeners? It's your co-host Mason Moreau here, and we've got a great review for you of Birds of Prey. Patrick was really satisfied that they finally let the character of Harley Quinn breathe.
It wasn't some heavily tinkered with flick from executives trying to figure out the best thing, what's going to market test this, what's going to market test that, and they just leaned into what the DNA of Harley Quinn was.
Beth felt empowered by this film.
But I really appreciated that this film showed women supporting women.
And I couldn't help but point out some similarities to Deadpool. But before we get into this review, there's someone pretty important that we think you should meet. Let's pop on over to Gotham City and see what he's up to.
Okay, Mr. Enigma, I got you back your copy, and there's extra question marks through all your riddles like you asked.
Yes, I am so excited to give Batman the perfect scavenger hunt. Thank you for writing my riddles, Mr. Quinn. You are the perfect riddle writer, and I don't know what I would do as the Riddler without you, because I can't write riddles.
Yes, sir, Mr. Riddler, whatever you ask. Hey, I know what you're thinking. What a schmutz this guy. Well, that's me, Harold Quinzel. But my friends call me Harry Quinn. Ring any bells? Yeah, it's a lot like Harley Quinn. Wanna know why? 'Cause she's my sister. And I'm sorry, I've written a lot of stuff for this Riddler character, and that's why I'm telling it to you now. You guys know how to solve a few riddles or two? So riddle me this. How did I get this way? Well, I've been helping out a lot of supervillains. You know, I started as a shit shoveler for the Penguin.
Be careful there, Quinn. The Penguins had beef stroganoff for dinner.
Oh man, I don't want to march with these Penguins. I taught the Joker how to rebrand.
Wait, so the scars don't work?
Yeah, and you gotta remove these weird tattoos. Just sing some Stephen Sondheim, it'll be fine.
How is everyone gonna know that I'm insane if I don't have a whole bunch of tattoos?
Be Joaquin Phoenix. And I even taught Mr. Freeze how to chill out.
I don't know, Quinn. Whatever you got that we are smoking, it's real cool.
Yeah, I stole it from Poison Ivy's secret stash.
This is making me very chill. I like being chill. I miss the freeze.
So yeah, you could say those bad guys, they really smoked me out. But I have something better. Speaking of which, I think these guys should be coming into my office in 3, 2...
What the hell, Quinn? How come my life is narrated by Morgan Freeman now?
Now my penguin friend named Andy Dufresne is humping the penguin's leg.
Hey, cut it out!
Harold, the Joker's now saying he wants to be played by Post Malone. What gives?
Mr. Freeze needs to chill out.
Uh-oh, looks like I need to get out of here. Well, I got a diversion. Hey, boys, you ever hear about a podcast? Well, listen to this!
Out my ears.
That Harry Quinn, what a wild one. And we're getting wild here on another episode of Son of a Ginger. I'm Beth Marcinko, here with my co-hosts.
I'm Patrick Baylor.
And I'm Mason Clown Prince Moreau.
And we're clowning, we're princing. We got some Harley Quinn in the Birds of Prey.
What is princing?
It's where you listen to Purple Rain for 36 hours straight.
While you're prancing.
And playing guitar in the rain.
Yes.
At the Super Bowl.
In a little red Corvette under a cherry moon.
It's a real good time, that Princeton. But speaking of good times, did y'all have a good time watching this? I think I did.
I did. I thought it was really whimsical. I thought some of it was not good, but I really enjoyed the dynamics between the characters and the costuming and the badass action that we got to see from all these cool ladies.
Yeah, initial thoughts. I think that if your standard comic book movie is a pack of Double Mint, this was Bubble Tape, right? This was just that crazy wacky one that you don't get that often that brings you a lot of joy.
And it's a lot.
And it's a lot.
It's a lot to chew on.
Side note. Am I the only one who when the Bubble Tape got to the diameter of a penny, I just popped the whole thing in my mouth and had a giant piece of gum for a little bit? Or
I don't remember the last time I had Bubble Tape.
Are you trying to keep that behind you? That's not in front of you, Patrick? That's not part of your 20s?
Well, you know, I bought the 24-pack at Costco, so if you want some.
Let's get chewing after this. Let's do it.
Let's get Bubble Tape wasted.
I can't wait until my jaw locks from chewing all this Bubble Tape.
But this movie was a lot of fun, and yeah, it was a very unique action superhero flick. I think the best part of it was how well edited and well paced the action scenes were. There were a couple times where
us three in the theater, and then I think the rest of the theater were just like, boom, whoa, that's cool kind of thing, you know? And it was taking it back to, Mason, what you mentioned with watching John Wick 3, I feel like this was a similar experience, right?
Yeah, I agree. And the sort of general consensus around a good action scene is whether or not you can actually see things happening, or if they're sort of stitched together with clever edits to make it look like things happened when maybe they really didn't, or they just didn't have the talent available to be able to pull things like that off. And I think they definitely got the right people involved to make these action scenes look really colorful and super unique and have a nice stylistic, humorous, upbeat sort of flair to them that made them stand out among other scenes. Mm-hmm.
I really like this sort of action movie where it's a lot of physicality. Like, I loved how the editor showcased the flips and the acrobatics of the fight scenes with the slow motion. I just thought that that was so cool, and you don't see that all the time. I also liked that there weren't like a ton of guns. Like, it wasn't all gunplay. It was a lot more hand-to-hand combat, and you really got to see the actors get into it.
And even if it was guns, it was like these stylized, not t-shirt guns, but like glitter guns kind of thing. And like, that was like another element, especially with the choreography. Well stunt choreographed by Rocky Abu-Sakher.
Hell yeah, go Rocky.
Way to be Rocky.
I think I noticed the first gun at the end of the police station scene where she steals it from the criminal, or like, I think the criminal has it, got it off like a shelf or something, and then shoots the person. I was like, oh, I think that that's the first real gun that I've seen in this movie so far. And I really liked that. Like, not even the villains like show that they're packing. They're just evil. And that's how you know.
Yeah, like Ewan McGregor and the gang, like, they definitely like had their guns, but yeah, like, it wasn't a big deal until like that climactic ending shootout scene, you know. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, yeah, they were able to kind of pare it down well, that kept the movie interesting instead of just a shoot 'em up fest the entire time.
Yeah.
One thing I really loved about this movie was that they really championed the fun practical joke gadgets. And that, like, that kind of thing, like state fair type fun gadgets that Harley Quinn and Joker have in the comics and the cartoon series, like, all over the place. And you don't see them in the movies enough unless it's like a clever homage where, like, the really deep, dark Joker has one little gun and you think he's about to kill the senator, but then he pulls the trigger and it's just a thing bang. That has it just says bang, right? But here, you saw her with the hammer. She, like, smiled when she got a baseball bat. She has this, like, riot gear grenade launcher that shoots these glittery beanbags. Like, I just found that to be super fun and refreshing, and it was such an obvious touch. I didn't know that I had been wanting that the whole time in Joker and Harley Quinn-based live-action stuff until I just saw it unfold in front of me.
What I really liked with what they're doing, and what I hope DC continues to do, is lean into the intricacies and the real character of the characters they're going to keep making these one-off solo movies about, and just blow it up and use everything about that character that is them. And I saw that with this movie. You know, I felt the bright blue and the bright pinks were the best way to describe this movie in a color, if that's too abstract for you. You know what I mean?
I agree with both of you that I really loved how they portrayed the character's personality from the comic books and brought that like whimsical style into this movie. Margot Robbie is the star of the show, like, very obviously. She really owns this movie. And I love her, like, grimy but still very bright and colorful outfits. So I just really love how they played up the whimsicality in the costuming too. They just use these really fun bright colors and brought out her personality in that way. And I think that they really played that up with each character.
What I love with this movie is that it wasn't Batman versus Superman or Justice League. It wasn't some heavily tinkered with flick from executives trying to figure out the best thing. What's going to market test this? What's going to market test that? And they just leaned into what the DNA of Harley Quinn was.
I don't know. I feel like the way that they approached this movie was rethinking Harley Quinn's DNA. Because I mean, the reason it's all an emancipation of Harley Quinn and that kind of thing is because previously she's been such a tragic character because she's unable to escape the pull of the Joker. She gets backstabbed and betrayed and used as a floor mat by the Joker left and right. And they did a smart thing by saying, what if we remove that? What if all of a sudden she had to be out on her own and she kind of didn't understand how to not be a slave to someone and had to figure it out on her own and feels liberated in the process?
I think it was a well-done choice from DC and Warner Brothers to go this route because, yeah, it was just very boring. And like, I think Margot Robbie actually pitched this idea either like during or right after filming Suicide Squad saying, hey, this would work way better like this. I love that they just kind of like latched onto that with Margot Robbie, especially.
Mm-hmm. She is just working right now. Since I, Tanya, I think especially, I know you guys, before we started recording, you were talking about her role in Wolf of Wall Street. I saw Wolf of Wall Street. I don't really like it. I don't remember a lot of it, but I really loved I, Tanya, and I really love all of her roles that I've seen since then. Hold on. I want to pull it up because I had it up just a second ago. She was in Mary, Queen of Scots. She was in Bombshell this year. She had her role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with her dirty ass feet. She's just working a lot right now. And it's nice to see because she's beautiful, obviously. We all know. We've seen her face. She's an incredible actress. I think that even though she had a fabulous stunt person, Heather Bonomo, in this film, I just really think that she, Margot Robbie, gets very into her role and into the insanity that is Harley Quinn.
She knows how to commit, and Kathy Ann, the director, like definitely knew how to get what she needed out of her. I'm excited to see Margot Robbie just really soar the rest of this decade. I think she'll continue to just like kick ass in the leading roles that she keeps booking. Like, I know she's going to be in Barbie with Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig. Yeah, I mean, she looks like Barbie, so.
I really hope that she continues to soar beyond just this decade, though. And I know that, you know, Patrick, you're probably just looking at the short term, but it's such a problem that older women don't have a plethora of roles to choose from. And I really just hope that that continues to change and that older women also continue to have the opportunity to play complex, fun leading roles.
So speaking of complex, fun characters, we had a lot of other characters in this as well. This was technically a Harley Quinn movie, but then it also wasn't. It was sort of an ensemble film with the Birds of Prey. We had Black Canary. We had whatever Rosie Perez played. We had the Huntress. And we had the girl with the cast.
And I thought they were okay. They were really corny. Like, very, very corny. And I think that that was intentional. But I don't know if I liked it very much. I thought that Black Canary should have been a little bit more hardcore. And like, I think that she showed that in some moments, but they didn't really have her commit one way or the other, whether she was going to be really corny or really like cool and hardcore.
Yeah. And I think that Huntress, which I don't know too much about Huntress as a character, but her backstory in this movie was like the same thing as Batman's.
A little
like
bit.
Her,
yeah.
Her family gets killed by organized crime. Or by criminals, and then she goes overseas and gets trained by this warrior organization and decides to come back and enact vengeance.
But hers was in Italy, so that means it's different, right?
Okay, yeah.
And she has a crossbow.
Yeah, it's different, man.
And I think I would have let that slide a little more if I felt the character had a little more personality, but she was really just angry and brooding and like every time there was a moment to like develop her character, it was played off as a joke. And then they go into a little vignette about her backstory, which is, you know, always convenient for exposition purposes. But, you know, like if you took all of the little flashbacks about different characters out of this movie, the movie would be like 45 minutes.
Mm, yeah, that is true. Well, just one other thing about Huntress. I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who played her. She was Ramona in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which was where I first fell in love with her as an actress. I love that movie so much. And I just felt like they didn't use her acting ability enough.
No, they did not.
They did not. No.
So, and I think that she especially has the ability to play that very dry, sarcastic humor. If they make a Birds of Prey sequel, I know we're not to Can I Smell a Sequel yet, but I think
it's coming. Someone's cooking upstairs.
We're smelling something, maybe.
I think if they do a sequel, or have Huntress in another DC movie, they really need to use her better because, man, she can be super funny.
And, like, to that end, I, full disclosure, I missed the first, like, 15 minutes of this movie due to car troubles, but I sat down and I did not expect the movie to take as much as it did from Scott Pilgrim's visual style, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted it to do a little more. Like, you know, have some of those little gags in there that are just little CGI, like, animations that, you know, like, would say, like, oh, her stomach's full, or she's hungry, or whatever, and so she gets the egg sandwich, yeah, that kind of thing. I felt like that would have done a lot to really, really drive the tone home that this is fun and cartoony and upbeat, and it would have made the things that actually happen in live action seem a lot more grand in scope.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wish that they had done cartoon panels in this. I think that would have really helped and made it even more whimsical.
Yeah, I think they still got something that is unexpected in an expected way, if that makes sense. Because again, giant studio film.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Let me make it make sense for you, Mason. What I think they definitely learned from previous DC movies is to not make it this big ass ensemble where they introduce everyone with the Justice League. So I think they did a good job with it just being Harley Quinn and use more of those stylized bits just for her. And then, okay, here's a quick backstory on side character B. Great, now we're back to the story. Like, I think that was effective in the right way to where it still struck a correct tone. It may have not been an A+, but it was definitely like a passing grade. But hey folks, you know where you can give us passing grades? Over on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, where you can leave a 5-star review for Son of a Ginger. And to make sure you never miss our A+ podcasts, hit follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to throw a follow at our Instagram page at Son of a Ginger Podcast. Anyway, back to the birds.
I enjoyed this movie. I had fun watching it. I thought that the acting for the most part was pretty good. I thought that the writing was maybe kind of where it fell down. But like I said, the physicality and the fighting and the action sequences were really what I was there for. And I'm not someone who gravitates toward action movies, usually because it's just all gunplay. And that's, you know, A, kind of sad, and B, kind of boring. So I really enjoyed that this was just like fun hand-to-hand mostly, and that it had a good message for women, and that you don't need a man, and that you don't need to be under someone's thumb. You don't need someone to control your life and tell you what to do all the time, and that women should support each other. I don't want to sound preachy, but I really appreciated that this film showed women supporting women in such a badass way.
I think all the main women characters, yeah, they band together at the end and stop the bad dude. That's cool. I haven't seen that before, oddly enough.
It's not that odd when you see who are the studio heads.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, like, coming off the coattails of a flop of a Charlie's Angels reboot, it's like, this is what took that concept of rethinking a property that's been historically dominated by a male character, you know what I mean? And emancipating the character, really, and emancipating the idea of what this character can be.
Mm-hmm. And I really love, too, that they explain what a Harlequin is, that Margot Robbie's character lays it out for you in the text. And I know that for some people that can seem kind of heavy-handed and, you know, hit you over the head with it. But I really liked that they drove the point home that clearly.
Yeah, heavy-handedness and corniness aside, they still were able to get a good message across. However, we kind of have to compare this to other superhero movies, and we're going to get out of DC a little bit. We're going to get to the grand scheme of things. I think, Mason, you've mentioned it best to me before. This is very similar to Deadpool. Would you agree?
Yes, in good ways and bad ways. But I think that the script for the movie, like Beth, you said, is a little bit half-baked. They spent a lot of time on developing Harley Quinn, and they spent a lot of time on making the villain really fun.
Great job by Ewan McGregor, by the way.
Yeah.
And who is his sidekick?
Victor Zsasz, played by Chris Messina from The Mindy Project, if you remember him.
I do. I recognized him. And I kept just tilting my head and squinting my eyes and looking at him going, I know this man, I know this actor, but I don't know from where.
I'm a little bit more familiar with Victor Zsasz from watching Gotham, and that was Anthony Carrigan, who got much bigger after starring in Barry. But I like the take from Chris Messina. He played it even crazier. It's not network TV at 9 p.m. It's an R-rated movie. So good job, Chris Messina.
But yeah. great, great villain acting.
Good villain acting, but the Deadpool acting and the fourth wall breaking, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the whole movie sort of takes on the same concept as Deadpool, where you have the main character talking to the audience, sort of aware that their story is being viewed. And then inside it, even new parts about her character seem to be lifted straight from Deadpool's character sheet, right? Harley Quinn has a love of egg sandwiches. Deadpool very much has like a love of chimichangas, which is something they haven't explored in the Deadpool movies, which makes it honestly kind of worse for me because it seems like they felt like they could get away with that.
I mean, I think that part worked for me, the highly stylized editing of making an egg sandwich, because that's what I made last night for dinner and it was good.
I'm a sucker for any sort of like food cinematography, just like anyone, just like really nicely done preparation of food.
Phone eats first.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
You got me hungry right now. Damn it. Yeah.
I eat with my eyes a lot. But they had the egg sandwich chimichanga thing. Of course, she's breaking the fourth wall. Part of the story was that there's this little girl who is coming up in a little bit of a life of crime, and she has to sort of shepherd her through learning how to be a good criminal, which is super similar to the Deadpool 2 character, where the kid's like a mutant who doesn't understand his powers, and they have to form a team and go save him, which is the same third act as Birds of Prey, right? She has to put together a team to go make sure they save the girl, and they're all invested for some reason. So that, like, story structure-wise, they kind of lifted their whole third act from Deadpool 2.
Not only that, but the way that you just said, and they care for some reason, that's exactly how I felt when I watched this third act. Because Harley Quinn just looks around and goes, well, I guess we ought to help each other to get out of here. And that's it. And she just kind of shrugs and says, guess we gotta do this. And they're like, yeah, I guess we're all gonna be pretty badass together and immediately work well and our fighting styles will match up.
I mean, third acts in superhero movies, that's like the weird thing. They all kind of suck. They're almost expected at this point. You know, they're gonna, something's gonna happen and resolve after act two. The main characters that you come to see will band together, stop the bad guy, and then it ends, and then they tease the sequel kind of thing.
Yeah, the reason the Captain America Civil War third act was so good is because the villain was just a regular guy who was really angry. And then all of a sudden, he shows Iron Man that Winter Soldier killed his parents. And then all of a sudden, it's a fight between the heroes of the story, and the villain is really only the villain because he was the puppet master of the situation, right? That was an original third act conclusion that really created a lot of drama. But, you know, here we just see the run of the mill, they teamed up and beat the bad guy sort of thing, which, you know, can you fault it for doing what everyone else does? Not really.
I mean, at least it didn't do what Suicide Squad did, and it was a giant energy monster that got so huge, and then they used some other energy thing to suck out all the energy, which is, again, the ending of like half of Marvel movies and half of DC movies anyway.
And also It Chapter 2.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
You're a clown. Yeah. You're a dumb clown.
What a stupid ending. But yeah, I mean, I feel like this movie just suffered from not being original enough. And they didn't jump headfirst into any of the really cool stylistic choices, and that ended up biting them in the butt in the end.
But I think that they have the opportunity to make the next one better. And I think it's time for... Can I smell a sequel?
I think I can. They're going to do it. This is like literally like such a well-tested character. You see ages 8 to 88, maybe not 88, 58... wearing Harley Quinn outfits for Halloween.
Maybe 88, if the grandma's spicy.
I really don't think that any 8-year-old girl should go see this movie.
I don't think so either, but like I have coworkers and friends' daughters who love Harley Quinn, and like they're into it.
It's there.
It's there, and the girls have their own superhero. Like, boys probably shouldn't be watching Fast and Furious 9, but I know everyone has a Vin Diesel lunchbox.
Oh my God.
I don't know if that happens. I don't know what kids like.
You haven't seen those lunchboxes at Target? They're just shaped like his head.
Oh my God, that would be so good. And you unzip the top and like the dome just opens.
You open it up, it's like those cards that play a sound, and you open it up and it's like, we do it for family.
All that being said, like, I think enough people know who Harley Quinn is globally to where whether this movie did good or not, they're going to make another one. And whether they, you know, shoehorn her in for the next Joker movie, which probably won't happen, or maybe put her in the next Aquaman movie if they stay with the whole DC Universe continuity. I know that has gotten very confusing since the failures of Suicide Squad, Justice League, Batman versus Superman. The list goes on. I think they could do either thing. I'd be fine with keeping it just within this smaller Gotham universe, and I think they can expand all these characters more. I have a prediction that Cassandra Cain will end up being the next Catwoman.
Ooh, that's fun.
I think that might happen, you know? She's a gal that likes to steal. Who does that, Catwoman?
Hmm.
Or someone else.
I don't know. I like her being her own character.
It would be cool if she developed into her own character too, but it's an intriguing thought.
I would like to see them explore her character in a new way and not just be like, oh, she's Catwoman now. Look, we didn't have to do any work to make her a new villain because we just made her Catwoman. You know, put some more effort into it and you'll find that people respond.
So immediately after clicking her link on Wikipedia, revealed that she plays Batgirl at some point in the comics. So that could be another thing. Mm. I don't know.
Could be.
That would be an interesting flip of being Harley Quinn's apprentice to then becoming Batgirl. Hmm.
They'd have to jump forward in time a bit, but I think it'd be fine.
Maybe we'll get a couple more Harley Quinn movies out of this with her not as Batgirl, and then maybe Cassandra will spin off and do her solo movies.
I think we have ourselves a little arc. I'd watch that.
You mean an Arkham?
I think if there's anything that the Harley Quinn series should keep is that it remains sort of on the fringes of everything that's happening in the wider DC universe. Deadpool is kind of just a guy doing his own thing while everyone's over here blowing up New York City. He's just kind of on his own, motivated by his own interests. And I think that's how they need to keep Harley Quinn. I don't necessarily think that they should put her in Atlantis, because that wouldn't make sense.
No, it would make zero sense.
And having her be sort of this color commentary to everything that's going on in the other movies is just the perfect way to keep her character going and making sense in the universe.
If DC's smart, they should keep all this stuff separate. So I think the biggest thing is like, okay, will she show up in the Matt Reeves Batman with Robert Pattinson? Like, will she show up in that 3-movie franchise when that comes out next year in 2021 in whatever sequel that they'll make kind of thing? That would be the most natural fit, air quotes, but that's supposed to be also like dark and brooding in a whole nother style. So I think DC, yeah, should totally keep all their styles separate, let their characters grow and build and not slap together something to copy Marvel and, yeah, make their own unique thing with their own unique characters.
Yeah, I honestly think it's kind of a shame that those Batman movies are coming up so soon, because it would be really nice to maybe have another Harley Quinn movie come out and then transition maybe into something darker and more serious where she herself is a fully realized villain fighting Batman. I think that would be really cool. And maybe they'll bring her in for the second of the trilogy or the third of that trilogy. I don't know. But I think that I would like to see her be more evil and not just this like anti-hero character.
From what I understand, these next Batman movies aren't going to be canon in the universe.
Mm.
I think they're just going to be, the rumors are that they're going to be based upon a comic. One of the best Batman stories ever told. I'm not going to say it here, because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who like is staying in the dark about it, but
staying in the dark night about it.
Yeah, there's plenty opportunity to bring Harley Quinn in later as a fully fleshed out villain. But also, I love her being an anti-hero, and maybe that's why she'd be a good villain, because people enjoy her. You know, it would also be very fun for Marvel to start doing Deadpool versus. Because there's a whole series of comics where Deadpool just fights other heroes in the universe. He fights Wolverine and cuts his head off. And then Wolverine, like, uses his body to, like, crawl back to his head and then heal himself. And so, like, maybe doing some, like, what-if stuff with Harley Quinn would be really, really fun.
So my bold prediction is they could do that stuff for, like, HBO Max when that comes out. Again, similar thing to what Disney Plus is doing with that, like, I think it's called like What If series. I forget, like Jeffrey Wright is some kind of like narrator character, and I'm butchering what the story is, but the series is, they literally say like, here's what would have happened in the Marvel universe if this thing happened, and then you see it play out. And I think it's animated at least, but like they have the voices of everyone still. Now they have like that DC Universe show with Harley Quinn, that cartoon show. Maybe they use some of that if they want to keep it animated, or HBO Max just lets Margot Robbie do her thing and do a bunch of like little mini series of Harley Quinn versus Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. Now Harley Quinn versus Jared Leto's Joker. What? Get into some multiverse stuff? I don't know. Probably not to that extent, but it could be fun.
Every iteration of every villain ever.
Cesar Romero, where are you at?
With the dog whisperer?
Wait, no.
That's Cesar Milan.
That's Cesar Milan. Cesar Romero was the first Joker in the live-action Batman TV series in the 60s.
Ah.
Let's get Adam West up in here. Fairly Odd Parents.
Fairly Odd Parents.
Fairly Odd Parents is the only reason I know who Adam West is. Just want you guys to know that.
Family Guy might be.
Yeah, Family Guy helped a lot. Anyway, R.I.P. Adam West, the original Batman.
Well, as we look west towards the sunset on the horizon, we're also looking at Instagram, where there are lots of sunset pictures, and where you can follow us at Son of a Ginger Podcast.
That was a walk, but I loved it.
That was my favorite journey to a segue, but then segued to where you can follow us on Instagram. But you know what you can also do?
You can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And then subscribe so you can find out our theories on the next podcast.
And with that, I've been Beth Glitterbomb Marcinko.
I've been Patrick Harvey Quinn Baylor.
And I'm Mason Clown Prince Moreau.